Today's episode of Locked On Cavaliers is brought to you by MyBookie. Ever since the start of this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's on what team to bet on this week, and the truth is I don't know who's going to win, but I think if you think you know, you gotta check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. And trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years. They have great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. I would only recommend this service to my listeners that has been good to me, and that is what MyBookie has done. They're always a solid contributor to this podcast. And that's why I'm betting you to bet on MyBookie, because when you make it your way on MyBookie, you win and they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you could even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. What's better than that? Join now, and MyBookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, enter LOCKEDON, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today, that's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You pay, you win, you get paid, and MyBookie will also match your first deposit 100% up to $1,000. What's better than that? So use that promo code LOCKEDON at MyBookie and start betting today. You win, you get paid. You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. And today, it is a crossover with the Chasedown podcast hosted by my Fearless Sword brethren, Justin Rowan and Carter Rodriguez. Guys, this is the first time, as Carter pointed out, that we have recorded a podcast together as a trio since the Cavs won the title in 2016. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Whoa, that seems not right, but maybe it you is. Are right.
We're considerably less hammered.
Mm-hmm. So, speak for yourself, Carter, please, for the love
Fair.
Of God.
Collectively, we are considerably less hammered. Okay, maybe still can't say it. Point is, we didn't just win the championship.
No, the Cavs aggressively did not just win the championship. They're facing a new reality, one where they think they're going to make the playoffs, but I'm a little skeptical.
I'm a lot skeptical.
I'm being nice. We'll get into all of this, but this is going to be a two-parter. Part one here on Locked On Cavs, part two on the Chasedown. Listen to both, subscribe to both, 5-star ratings and reviews on both. And we're going to get you ready.
Classic home and home.
Yeah. We're going to get you ready for what could either be a really interesting Cavs season or one that goes off the rails within five games. We're going to find out a lot pretty quick. So let's get into some things here. Number one, and I want just either one of you to go first. Let's just start positive. Let's not be negative yet. What's going to happen a lot, so let's just be positive now. What are some things you are expecting to be good about the 2018-2019 Cavaliers? Let's start with Justin.
Oh, I thought you just said that either of you could
change
answer.
Change my mind. I'm changing my mind.
I was going to do the polite Canadian thing and let Carter go first. I think there's a lot of things to be positive here. I think this is going to be a really interesting and informative season. I think there's a lot of storylines to look after. Colin Sexton, how he's going to do as a rookie. Jetty Osman obviously has me very excited. Larry Nance Jr. signed to a new contract. Maybe he's good. Maybe he's fine and just getting a lot of hype because of who his dad is. I don't know. But I just think that this is going to be an interesting year where we find out about this team. We find out about who Tyronn Lue is. We get to see Kevin Love in a more featured role. And I think they're just going to play a more fun style of basketball. And while obviously expectations aren't as high and the ceiling isn't as high, I think the day-to-day of this team, at least how they play in the regular season, is going to be more fun. Just without the burden of expectations that's been here for the last few years.
Yeah, I feel like the thing that I'm excited about the Cavs this year is the general ability for them to outperform expectations this year, because it was literally never going to happen with this last roster, where expectations were kind of championship or bust, kind of not. Like, no one expected them to win the title, but then when they lost the title, it was still, like, disappointing. and like they didn't care about the regular season, so that part could never be fun. So it was like the regular season can't be fun, and the finals can't be fun. So really, you're like left with four or five games against Toronto every year that are like pure joy. This year, they can, you know, like I've said it a billion times, I don't think this is a playoff team. I think they're a 30-win team, but if they prove me wrong, like, what fun it'll be to get to like, because we really got cheated out of that step of the cheated. That's not the right word. We lost that step of the process, where they had LeBron. They were, you know, a pseudo contender in the East. Then he left, and they were dog shit for 4 years. And then he came back, and they were title contenders again. Like we don't get the first year of Lob City where it's just pure fun. We didn't get that. And like maybe the Cavs don't get to those heights for a while, even in the modest relative heights of what Lob City became. But if you do get that, it's a joy, and I think it'll be fun to have the chance at that again.
Here's my thing that I am most enthused about. It's Jetty. And we're going to talk about him a lot more on your part, but I'm skeptical of a lot of things the Cavs are trying to do. I'm skeptical. I have no idea what to expect out of Kevin Love, 4 years removed from being Minnesota Kevin Love. I just, different body type, different injuries. I don't know what to expect from him. I think he'll be very good, but there's not a lot of historical precedents to tell us that a guy can go away from being that high usage and then go back to doing it. There's just not a lot of cases of that, especially when you play next to LeBron. And he's talking about being a perimeter-oriented version of what he was. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what playing fast is going to look like. I have no idea if they're actually capable of that. I get the sense that like it's going to work sometimes, and there's going to be times where Jordan Clarkson takes a lot of pull-up threes in transition, and that's aggressively not good.
Hey, that keeps the pace up.
true.
7 seconds or less, it doesn't have to be good.
The Jordan Clarkson story, it's Jack McCollum's sequel, just Jordan Clarkson shooting in transition. I don't know what Sexton's going to be like. I like him as a personality. I think he's going to do some stuff that's really fun. I think he's going to struggle a lot. Jetty is the thing that I'm just most sure is just going to be fun and sort of good. I don't think it's a hot take to say that it's more for this season, at least, to be more interested in what he does than Sexton. And that might be because we're so deep in that hive, but I'm interested in that. And I do think I'm interested to see what the Cavs do to be player development. They're playing this up a lot. There are some changes. And I want to see if, like, the sort of the structure that they're trying to create, or at least trying to project out into the world, how that holds up. And I think that'll at least be good. And having been at the arena, the funding is its own nebulous thing, but it actually is, like, really nice, and it feels good that they've sort of modernized in that way. And it still smells like fresh paint in there, and this is an organization that, like, is in reality trying to prove that they are competent and have, like, this fresh aesthetic to them. And I just feel like that is at least good. In terms of them at least trying to like move on and be like a healthy franchise.
If you'll like permit me to be signals. A little.
Oh, go ahead, Carter.
But say, if you'll permit me to be a buzzkill, I didn't think fresh paint would be on the list of good things.
Hey, Carter, take it from me. Just trust me on this one. Some fresh paint can go a long way towards enjoying a Cavs game. Crack open that can, get a couple whiffs. And I mean, nothing, what I was going to say is nothing.
I thought you're going for a homeowner flex, and instead you went with a huffing paint flex.
We all have to cope somehow, Carter. Just got to cope. Got to get by.
That's called the Winnipeg cocktail. Nothing says that you've been online a little too much when Jetty being the most sure thing of a good time is your thought going into this season. Like, I think I agree with you, but that is a take that you don't have unless if you are on Twitter and a part of Cavs Twitter a lot. Like, I was listening to Open Floor and they said that Ben Gulliver said that Deli, good God, that's a Freudian slip. Jetty is closer to being the Turkish Deli than he is being the Turkish LeBron. And like that just cuts so deep. And the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But I don't know how many people are really excited about what he could be this season outside of Cavs Twitter.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think like when he locks down Kawhi Leonard Wednesday, you know, people will know.
I will say, like, I was glad my, you know, but, like, I like to consider, like, my brother, like, my brother's one of the least online basketball mind. Like, I really respect his opinion on stuff. And, you know, and he pays pretty close attention to the Cavs, like, maybe not to the insane level we do. But he pays attention, and, like, he's really excited about Jetty. So I'm like, that's my, like, that's my cling to hope. Like, maybe it's not just because we're too online. Like, maybe there is something there. Now, like, any casual fan is not going to be interested. But I do think, like, in this league past world, and I just turned that into an adjective, there is, like, a lot of, I mean, if you can believe it, a lot of know-it-alls on Twitter.
big if that, true, big if true.
That that kind of, because they have access to watch every team, they think they know everything about every team, even right. even the really good ones. And there is value to sitting and watching all 82 games of a team up close. And as and I think anyone will tell you that, like, it can skew your opinion the wrong way. Hashtag free Deli. He's not dirty. We all yelled in unison, even though everyone else told us otherwise. But it does give you insight, and you do catch certain things that just aren't going to be caught otherwise. And I'm sorry, like, if you weren't watching every Cavs game, you probably didn't get much of a look at Jetty Osman. You just didn't. But those that did saw some good stuff. So I don't think we are wrong just because we are going maybe a little over the top.
No, I don't think that at all. Let's be a little negative. Let's look at the bad side here. Aside from the powder blue jerseys, which I've never been more sure that something was going to be abhorrent, is the powder blue jerseys are going to wear this year. Let's start with Carter on this one. What is something that you're just very sure is going to be just bad, just is going to be unenjoyable and hard to watch this year?
Every second Jordan Clarkson plays with Colin Sexton.
which, like, seems like a thing. That seems like a thing.
It doesn't feel like they know that's bad. And that is a problem. It feels like a thing that they're going to try in spots, especially while Sexton's coming off the bench. And they shouldn't. Those guys don't help each other at all. They don't really – they have – identical games to varying degrees of like 5 degrees off of each one. Like, I think obviously we all think Sexton has a higher ceiling, but Sexton's a rookie that, by the way, had a pretty hard time when he got D'd up hard by Darren Collison, who's a very aggressive point of attack defender. So, you know, he's not going to be ready to just to drop 20 and 10 right off the bat. And putting him next to Jordan Clarkson, who can't shoot, is inactive off ball, it's just, I think it's going to be hideous. And I really hope that they learn their lesson sooner rather than later. Not for any big picture, like, development, which, yeah, I care about that, but I just want to not have to watch it in the moment. So
that's, you guys are such pessimists. My God, you don't see the brilliance in putting them together, because by having Colin Sexton play some minutes off ball next to Jordan Clarkson, it's really going to help him average a triple double as a rookie. We need to get those rebounds, and he's so active on the glass. I really think that this is a great opportunity for him. In terms of what I'm actually disappointed in, with the direction of the team, or not disappointed, but what I think is going to be a little bit painful this season, with the direction of the team kind of up in the air, where they're at least posturing like they want to make the playoffs, I'm not 100% sold that that's going to be the case. But I just see that the conflicting views of what this team should be doing and who should be playing in order to kind of push that agenda, I think that's going to be a really frustrating conversation throughout this year. I can see Larry Nance and Tristan kind of being pitted against each other, and I think that's going to be an exhausting conversation. And just the awkwardness of when the veterans are still on this team, whether it be for a genuine push for the playoffs or whether it be just kind of in this in-between stage. I think the tension between George Hill is an effective but kind of boring player, is going to clash with Colin Sexton is probably not effective because he's a rookie, but he's exciting in the way that he plays. And I think you just have conflicts up and down the roster with that. So I think that tension is going to kind of put a little bit of a damper on the season, at least while it's still the case.
So two things about this. Number one, George Hill had these like quotes where he said he like wanted to like mentor Colin Sexton, but said it in the most like generic press releasey way possible. Like, I don't really believe him, you know, like I'm throwing some doubt on that. Number two, I hope he has like last year when like it was just a random middle of the week night and he just tweeted all those emojis about being, you could tell he was pissed off about being on the Kings. Like, I need that. I need that to happen.
Yeah, you could tell he wanted to really mentor De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento. So this is clearly going to work out in the exact same way, which was fantastic, right?
Yeah, he's going to be very happy to be in a team that, like, we already have reporting that indicates the front office, like, wants to play the young guys. And then there's George Hill, who's, like, clearly not going to be on the team next year. It's, like, very much just not part of the future. They're going to start Colin Sexton next
year. I hope
he's
not on the team this year.
Is if you could get rid of one vet like today, like it just regardless, would he be the one you would just push off to the side?
No, JR.
No. I think JR would have to go. But also, I like JR more than George Hill.
Oh, I like JR a lot more. I just think George Hill can be somewhat helpful. Like, I think him and Sexton next to each other actually works.
I don't know, man. I don't care about that much. I just think he has the most positive trade value.
Yeah,
of anyone on the team.
Salary is like tough, and so I think Korver might be above him in that regard.
Same.
Let's look at question marks. Let's just start with, I think, the one that will be the most the person I think we will actually learn the most about this year. Is Ty Lue a good coach? Can Ty Lue like coach and sort of do what he's going to be asked to do this year? I don't think there's any like way for us to know. Like, I think we're going into this
blind. Is that your pick for the thing that's going to go bad?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I think so. Because I think he's going to want
to
play the vets.
He's going to be mad at you.
I think he's going to play the vets. Shouts to Ryan. Love you. I think he's going to want to play the vets. I think Jordan Clarkson's my pick of things that are going to go bad. Like, I'm very sure about that. But
I guarantee you people are going to love Jordan Clarkson. Cavs fans will love Jordan Clarkson by the end of the year.
He's going to 12.5 points a game on like 18 shots. And they're going to be like, he can score double digits. I'm like, but the efficiency.
Nah.
I just don't know. I don't know what to expect from Ty. I think he's like never going to say things through press conferences and in scrums that are going to like give you confidence in what he's doing. He's not a coach that's really going to tip his hand, but he's also clearly a coach that like favors veterans and like does. He's also one of the guys that has been most vocal about wanting to try and win games and trying to not like talk about this as a rebuild. It's the word rebuild is a dirty word.
Don't say that word.
I've already been reprimanded for using the word rebuild in front of people. It's just not the vibe. And he's sort of, I think, one of the people really pushing that. What is his breaking point? And like, and do how, like, what kind of leash does he give Sexton? What kind of leash does he give Jetty? Like, does he give up on Sam Decker at some point? Like, these are things.
God, I hope so.
You've opened the door for me to yell at Justin because I thought I'd do him a favor by leaving the thing that's going to go bad being a Sam Decker, and he didn't even pick it.
I forgot he was on the team. I swear to God, I forgot he was on the team.
October 15th, not even had the first game
yet. I gave you a layup, dog.
Man.
Well, you're not going to forget once the season starts. So since you didn't take it, I'm picking up the ball and taking another shot. This guy is going to get minutes for this team because for whatever reason, they clearly believe in him. It's obvious to me. Is it obvious to you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. And Carter, I'm very sorry that I fumbled that pass. Self like Sam Decker so often does, but it doesn't make any sense. I mean, Chris, I've ranted about this with Carter before, but if you're going to play Sam Decker at the four, you might as well just play Larry Nance there and open up some minutes to like give Zizic some burn or Tristan at the five. Like Nance is going to have all the same spacing issues that Sam Decker does, only you have a little bit of gravity with him because you at least have to respect his athleticism. You might even be a better shooter. He certainly has better senses of team basketball, better screen setter. Like, I don't think that Nance really should be playing a lot of four, and I don't think Decker should be playing a lot of four. But if I have to, if you're going to play a guy that can't space the floor there, that's who I'd go with. But I'd much, much rather play like David Nwaba there, or God, even Channing Frye. Like, just anyone else other than Decker, because I don't see him as a piece for the future, and I don't see him a piece for the present. So it just doesn't make any sense to me to give this guy a serious burn.
Like, I
keep thinking about mean NBA comparisons for Sam Decker. Like, I compared him to Jay Crowder, which is actually mean to Jay Crowder on the Cavs, but. Point is, I keep thinking of the mean ones, and I was on Tom Valentino's podcast last night, and I thought, you know, he's like a worse shooting, less athletic Jonas Jerebko.
Okay, like, yeah, he's white, I get
like
it.
No. I'm saying, like, if he were good at basketball, he would be Jonas Jerebko. But he's not good at any of the things that make Jonas Jerebko a decent role player. It's like he's not athletic enough to be the kind of role player he wants to be. He's not a good enough shooter to be the kind of role player he wants to be. He's not, like, doesn't have the IQ to be. It's like, what are we doing here? And have you noticed how much he
really
likes
suck
to ISO?
You guys really suck here. This is a season preview, and this is getting way too negative. Like,
look,
no, I hate Sam Decker, but.
Look, here's my general thesis for this season. I think they just, like, think they're going to be the Indiana Pacers from last year, and they're just not, because they're not, like, full of the type of talent that they need to pull that off. Like, I think Love could be really good. I think Sexton could be decent as a rookie. I think Jetty could develop in some way. But they don't have, like, an Oladipo. They don't have, like, the surrounding personnel to sort of make that work. Like, Decker, I get taking, like, getting Decker for free was, like, fine in a vacuum, but, like.
So you're not on the Rodney Hood train.
If Rodney Hood averages the, like, 19 points that ESPN Fantasy projects him to, I will be flabbergasted. Like, that would be wild to me. That would be wild.
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be fun. You know, like, I'm actually softening a little bit on Rodney Hood. In the spirit of Justin's pick me ups that he clearly wants us to have, I'm like, you know, maybe it could work. I don't know if I'm ever going to trust him in a big game again, but
we're probably not going to be in one of those. Sometimes.
Not going to be in a lot of big games is kind of where I was going.
Yeah.
There's... So, like, ultimately, like, yeah, why not? Why not? Why couldn't he, you know, go off and win us a game here and there? Because it's not the worst outcome.
Rodney Hood also, like, has a lot to play for, because, like, his, like, financial future, like, really hinges on him being good this year.
Yeah. I mean, there is a path to this team actually being good, like, or, like, relative to the Eastern Conference and making it. Like, if Tristan Thompson is healthy, he's a very good player. If Larry Nance is healthy, he's a good player. If Kevin Love is healthy, he's one of the best players in the conference.
Need him to grow his beard back, though. He looks bad right now. Like,
okay,
doesn't look good.
Okay. Just give a little bit of sympathy to us weak-jawed folks that look better with beards. But, like, and then if Rodney Hood has, like, as he was playing in Utah last year, then I don't think it really takes a whole lot more in the East. I mean, we're talking about who's making the 7 and 8 seed. The Detroit Pistons don't really do a whole lot for me. And that's probably like your 7 seed. So I don't think it's outlandish. I don't think that's the direction the Cavs are going to go. And I think part of the reason why they don't want to use the word rebuild is because they are still going to build around Kevin Love. I don't think they're going to shop him. But I do think that there's the potential for them to move the veterans, kind of let Love cook a little bit, but just have it be a developmental year and then kind of go for it in the following seasons and to try to sign some free agents to join whoever they get in the draft. So I don't think it's going to be a complete rebuild. I think they have a lot of the guys that they view as being part of their future and that they need to add another piece or two here. So for that reason, I think that's probably why you see them react so poorly to that phrase.
Oh, I think you're 100% right. Let's wrap up this first half of the pod by looking at the one guy who we sort of, I think, know what to expect of him, assuming he's healthy. That's Kevin Love. Or at least we should sort of know what we're expecting. I'll just give, I want to give my take on this first, and then I'll see what you guys say. I don't, number one, I think the contract is fine. I think it is what it is. Like, I get why they do it. Number two, I think they sold him on a vision of trying to compete. I don't think he would have re-upped if he didn't. I mean, maybe he just wanted the money, which I could understand. But also, like, I don't know if he was going to just willingly re-sign through the rest of his prime if they weren't going to try to compete. And number three, I would say of the two things that are most concerning about Kevin Love in 2018-19, his health, or his potential health with his back, his hands, what have you, and what his role is going to be, I am more concerned, I think, about his health. Like, if he plays, like, if he misses 20 games again, or has, like, reoccurring back issues, or all these things that could, like, plague him throughout the year, this not only gets ugly this year, but it gets ugly beyond this, and, like, this, that could put a tone on the season that is, like, not great. And because he's not only important for them being, like, competent this year, but if he's not there to prop up Colin Sexton, and prop up Jetty Osman, and get them reps that they need with good NBA players to run pick and rolls, to run sets around him, take the pressure off of them. This gets ugly and, like, maybe directionless in a hurry, because then we're going to be seeing, like, Sam Decker at the elbow touches, or, like, just things that are just not going to be good.
Yeah, but then you get RJ Barrett.
Yeah. You get a really good pick.
Then he props up the franchise, and then if it's one of those 20-game random injuries that Kevin Love has that isn't, like, something that projects to affect his career, that's probably not the end of the world. I think that there's a chance that you're going to get Kyrie post-decision, where if he has, like, even a scratch on him, the team shuts him down to kind of artificially tank the season in some ways. I think you're going to see a lot of that. I think they're going to be really cautious with Love. I don't think he's going to be playing 36 minutes per game. I think they'll probably bump it up because he was at about 28 last year. I think he'll get that up to, like, 32. But I think there's going to be kind of sneaky little things like that that probably help keep the win total a little lower than if they were just going all out and you had, like, Tom Thibodeau here just trying to ride out the best players for 40 minutes a game.
Tibbs coaching this team would be iconic. Just wanted to say that.
Oh,
like,
my God. Fuck that. Justin, I think, actually nailed everything I was going to say. I think you're spot on here. I think that they will be... I think if this team is playing Kevin Love through an injury, they are horribly misguided. I don't think that those 20-25 games will be enough to create the bad habits that you're worried about, Chris, the stifling that development. I mean, you still have 75% of the season with him in that scenario. I do agree that it will get very, very ugly. Kevin Love is the only thing resembling a half-court option, and even then it's going to be hard to get him the ball against certain matchups. I think nobody here thinks this team projects to be particularly good in the half court. So without Kevin Love, it would be pretty hideous. But, you know, as Justin said, then, you know, like, that's the incentive game the NBA builds is, you know, you lose your best player and lose a lot more games, you get a better draft pick. You know, I'm of the opinion this team is going to win 32 games. I think if Love misses 25, they're probably going to win like 25 games. And maybe even a little bit less than that. And I don't think that's the worst thing in the long-term future, as long as they're not, you know, burning their culture for the sake of an extra ping-pong ball or two.
Yeah, and that also makes, like, in that infrastructure, I wonder how willing they are to, like, just trade off the vets for anything. You know?
I mean, I think they should be. Like, I think J.R. Smith, you would move basically for, like, a handshake if you could. George Hill, I mean, how much do you really expect for these guys?
Nothing.
I think if
Korver,
you can get off salary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Korver, you might get a second or two. And, like, you're going to have to take some salary in return. If you have a guy that's kind of floundered a little bit, but, it, like, has some upside maybe, like, that'd be great. But you really can't expect a whole lot in return here. So
that's kind of my point, though, is I think you have to. I if I'm running the Cavs, I'm looking to find the most odious contracts in the league and say, here's your get-out-of-jail-free card, but you're going to have to pay.
Let's get Chandler Parsons. Like, this is my pitch if things go bad. Let's get the Chandler Parsons, Jordan Clarkson, have to find nightlife in Cleveland reality show.
Fine with me, man. I really am. Like, give me your Nick Batums. I don't care about dead money. I don't care about cap room. That's not how this team... If you try to tell me this team is going to be good because they hoard cap room at any point, you're lying to yourself.
Oh, agreed.
So take on these hideous deals. Be the facilitator. Restock your talent reserves similar to the way the Nets did, where they just said, you know, give us your bad deals. We'll take a bunch of seconds. We'll take some firsts.
Or similar to the way the Cavs did in the Chris Grant era.
Yeah. We've talked about it a lot, this trio, specifically about Chris Grant wasn't good at much, but he was good at asset acquisition. And I think that that's the way this front office needs to be operating, especially for guys that, like, you know, like trading George Hill. I really don't think George Hill is affecting the bottom line of this team much this season. I can't talk. I'm sorry. He's a washed up role player. Like, we know this. Like, yeah. And he's going to have a bad attitude. I just can't imagine that, like, you know, like, it's going to be that damaging to the locker room if they trade George Hill for Nick Batum's monstrosity and get a first rounder out of it or something like that. You know, I think that's because George Hill, guys, like, because they're not taking these huge, mega, terrible contracts into cap space. They're not going to get the great deals that, you know, the Nets got, where they could just take on a guy into space and you send out like 500 grand and get a first unprotected first back. I think what they're going to have to do is look for these protected firsts that maybe if they don't convey, turn into 2 seconds. I think they have to get creative here. But I do think there's a roadmap to do so.
When this part on this note, behind Kevin Love, the second best player on the Cavs this year is who?
Tristan. Jetty fucking Osman.
Wow. Wow. Those are two diverging answers.
Yeah, I think if Tristan's healthy, the impact he makes on defense is kind of going to dwarf any of the young guys.
And he's healthy. He's very healthy. Everything I've seen, everything I've been told, he's like healthy again, which is interesting.
Tristan Thompson, when healthy, is a very, very good player. That was the third most important player in the 2016 finals, and probably the only reason we made the finals last year. So, or not the only reason, but like outside of LeBron, him actually stepping up was kind of important both against Indiana and Boston. So,
answer is Tristan. I was flexing with my Osman pick, but I think Justin's right. I think Tristan is the kind of guy who, when he's out there, you just feel better about your defense. Boy, are they going to need some cleaning up around the offensive boards half court. Like, that's going to be a major source of offense for them, is just getting extra possessions. And I still think he can do that at a really high level.
Yeah, but if you want to hear more about Chetty bleeping Osman, you should listen to the second part of this podcast on the Chase Down. So, end this podcast, go leave a rating and review, and then go download the Chase Down. We're going to be back. Find Carter on Twitter, @CarterShade. Justin on Twitter, @CavsAnada. Me on Twitter, @CWMWrites. Read all of our stuff at Fear the Sword. And be ready for Wednesday when things are going to get weird, I think, pretty quick. CJ Miles is probably going to drop 30 on the Cavs. But if you want to hear more about Jetty, Osman, Colin Sexton, a whole bunch more preview stuff, check out part 2 of this podcast.